Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and this just in from Washington. President Obama has told Senate Democrats that they still have a big majority and a responsibility to fix problems, even after the defeat in Massachusetts. The president said lawmakers have to fight the instinct to play it safe at a time of intense public anguish, and he told Democratic lawmakers that they have to finish the job and enact a health care overhaul. The president said he is open to compromise, however, on that health overhaul. But just like he met with congressional Republicans last week, he met with Senate Democrats today and said Democrats still have a big majority and a responsibility not just to play it safe. So that just in from D.C. And we heard earlier this hour from Democratic Congressman Joe Sestak of Pennsylvania, now Republican Congressman Scott Garrett of New Jersey, the 5th District in northern New Jersey, Allendale, Mahwah, Tenafly, Hackettstown, places around there. Among other things, Congressman Garrett is the ranking Republican on the Financial Services Subcommittee that regulates capital markets, insurance companies, and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Hi, Congressman Garrett. Welcome back to WNYC.
It's good to be with you. And yeah, you listed up some of the towns. I always describe our area as one of the nicest parts of the state of New Jersey.
And let's talk about the economy and briefly Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and briefly the health reform bill. President Obama was in New Hampshire yesterday promoting some job creation measures that he says should appeal to Republicans as well as Democrats. Listen.
Jobs has to be our number one focus in 2010. And we're going to start where most new jobs start, with small businesses. These are the companies that begin in basements and garages when an entrepreneur takes a chance on his dream, or a worker decides it's time she becomes her own boss.
So let's start there, Congressman. Do you support the plan to use the $30 billion being repaid by the big banks from the TARP money to fund community banks to lend to small businesses?
Well, two parts to that question. First of all, money being repaid from the TARP money, no. The TARP program, which, as you know, in our past discussions I was opposed to, was not designed as a proverbial slush fund for any new programs that the administration comes up with. I don't care who's in the administration. It had one objective, one goal, one idea in mind of how to use it. And then after that, it was supposed to end. And that's what most people believe that it should be. And if anyone, he or us or anybody else, has new ideas on spending or what have you, then it shouldn't be dealing with TARP. It should just go through the normal appropriation process and what have you. So that'd be the no on that. And what was the second? Oh, the targeted tax aspect of it?
Well, let's stay on that for a minute.
I
know the TARP law requires that the money be used when it gets paid back to spend down the debt.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't stop Congress. I guess it's just a matter of semantics or bookkeeping, because Congress would then have to pass a separate law to appropriate $30 billion to give to community banks to lend to small businesses. And whether you say it's coming from TARP or whether you just say it's coming from the general fund,
right,
would you vote for such a bill?
Right, and that's the second. Part of it is the semantics, part of it is what the TARP was. So moving aside from that then is, do we then spend $30 billion or whatever along the lines what the administration is talking about, which is the targeted program to saying of hiring new employees? And I would tend not to support that, and here's why. You're again engaged in what's called picking winners and losers, and the winners that you're picking may be the very same companies who made all the bad decisions before as far as laying off people. And I can give you one quick example, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
You have two companies on either side of the street. The one company, we'll call the good company, did everything they could over the last year or so to keep on all their employees. Maybe the management could tuck pay cuts. Maybe they didn't, spend things on lavishly in the company. They did everything right to keep all their employees on the payroll, and they kept them there. Across the street, you had the bad company. What did they do? The bosses took pay increases, bonuses, what have you, and fired just about everybody during the last 18 months because the economy is rough, and they're taking the big bonuses. And what do we step in and do? We're going to say to that bad company, hey, you know what? If you go back and hire some of those people back, we'll give you a benefit. you know, tax benefits, these loans, what have you, to the good company will say, well, you know, you've already been doing the right thing. You can't afford to hire anybody else because you're already at maximum employment, so you don't get any benefit.
Well, they're different, right? The one is the $5,000 job tax credit for new hires that the president is proposing that's separate from the fund for lending. Also, what I guess you were referring to, the Social Security payroll tax holiday, a tax holiday for this year for hiring anyone who's been unemployed more than 60 days. So you're saying that would might reward some companies who didn't do well in the past, but it would reward the workers. They would get their jobs.
Yeah, they would reward the workers. I would rather we do it this way. I'd rather do... You know, the administration is right. Who's the job creators in this country? It's the small businesses. So let's just say that we're going to lower the cut some taxes across the board for these guys, the corporate taxes for them, and let them make the decisions as what they need to do with that, whether they want to hire more employees, whether they want to give their current guys who've been getting pay cuts in the past a little bit bump up so they can afford to live with the higher costs that we have. We don't need the government picking winners and losers in any one of these type of programs that the administration has tried. And these ideas are not new ideas. They've been tried in the past, and you end up with the bad same bad results at the end of the day.
On the loans. Mm-hmm. We had the CEO of a community bank in New Jersey last week, Tom Scherer from Lakeland Bank, and he said he would be anxious to get this money and would, in fact, lend it out to small businesses. Listen to a little bit of Tom Scherer, CEO of Lakeland Bank.
Okay. Well, I think the stimulus is absolutely necessary, and I think community banks, by and large, will do the right thing with the proceeds. Lakeland Bank supports any fiscally responsible stimulus programs, which helps small businesses, and the small businesses are the lifeblood of our communities. So we're hopeful that the parameters around the program are going to be something that makes sense to community banks.
Any reaction to Tom Scherer?
Yeah, I know Tom, and you know I think that bank is a good bank, and as most small community banks are, and they have been doing the right thing up to date. They are the ones who put up the billboards and say, we have money to lend, and we want to lend to you. The problem, of course, is not necessarily the amount of money that the banks have to lend. The problem is that if you talk to bankers, they'll say, we are just not getting enough credit-worthy customers. Sure, we have customers coming in and saying we want a loan, but with 10% plus unemployment, where the economy is right now, most of the bank underwriters will say that it's the problem on the other side of the ledger, but the credit-worthiness of the people who are coming in the door.
Well, the standards for that have changed, right? The economy is so precarious that banks, including smaller banks, are not lending to businesses who they would have lent to in the past because they're afraid, and this fund would, in theory, let them take more risks.
Ah, so there's that's an interesting angle on it. Do we then want them to take more risk? And if we do, as some experts have already begun to raise the question, will we just be creating the next bubble or what have you? Mm-hmm. The reason we got in here, at least in all the hearings that we had in financial services, was in part because the government stepped in and said, hey, banks, financial institutions, start lending out money to people who are on the edge or may not be able to lend it back. The infamous case of the Federal Reserve up in Boston saying to banks, you don't have to look at the credit worthiness anymore, whether they have a job or not. So the government, Federal Reserve, and others giving that impetus to the banks to lend to people who were really not the best people to lend to. Now, if what we're doing is to say, well, to get us out of this fix, we're going to go back and reinstitute those old policies or recommendations to encourage banks to lend to people who maybe are not quite the ones they should be lending to, we'll be having the same conversation, you know, 2 or 3 years down the road and say, how did that happen all over again?
Republican New Jersey Congressman Scott Garrett, my guest on WNYC on the Financial Services Subcommittee that oversees the SEC, among other things. Were you on that committee in 2004?
Financial Services?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep, I came in. I got elected in 2002 and came in as a freshman in 2003, so that 2004 would have been my freshman year, I guess.
And on that subcommittee that oversees the Securities and Exchange Commission, I'm just curious, this is a historical question, but when the SEC decided in 2004 to allow five big investment banks to double their leverage ratios and take on increased risk, those firms happen to include Bear Stearns, Merrill Lynch, and Lehman Brothers. Were you aware of that at the time?
That's a good historical question, and I have to think about that. whether I knew about exactly when they made that decision or not. I'll have to get back to you as to when exactly I first learned about that.
Okay, because many people say that was one of the big mistakes along the way that allowed what happened to happen. Was that a topic of conversation in the committee before the fact?
Before the fact, I don't think that it was so much.
Or reviewing it shortly after the fact?
Probably not. Probably at that time, we would have had Greenspan around and saying that everything was going well and we were not having problems. The systemic problems weren't in that area. Others were arguing, the White House and others were arguing at that time, the potential systemic problems were coming elsewhere. And so the focus wouldn't not
right,
have been
not
at that.
On that.
Yeah.
Okay. A couple of other things before we run out of time. Ask, don't tell. Will you support repeal?
Well, I go back to your opening comment, what the president has said, and that is the number one focus should be on the economy and jobs creation, and I think this is just a side
but
issue.
But you can certainly do both of those things at the same time, right?
Well, and I won't be. It will not be one of my priorities, I'll tell you that.
Well, but if somebody introduces a bill,
I will not be signing on to it.
Because?
I don't think that needs to be addressed at this point.
Needs to be addressed. Congress,
I don't need it to be addressed at this point, does not need to see the repeal of it.
And if the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the defense secretary finishes the study and decides that that this can be done, and the chairman of the Marines says, well, after we withdraw from Iraq, which is not that far from now, you would still vote no?
Probably.
How come?
I'll consider the source of the information as it comes to us at that time to see whether they gave a fair weight and hearing to it or whether this is something that the administration said that they wanted to get done and therefore instructed the report to come out that way.
What would you need to hear that would convince you one way or the other on the merits?
That will have absolutely no impact whatsoever on the day-to-day operation, influence, or carrying out of their mission.
And if it took some time to bring people along who were resistant, it wouldn't be worth it for the equality?
If it, as I said, if it has absolutely no impact or degradation of quality of the performance of their responsibilities or the quality of the men and women who find themselves in harm's way right now, we'll wait to see whether they can say that.
All right. We have 2 minutes left. Were you in the meeting with President Obama last week and the congressional Republicans?
You mean the GOP retreat?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was there.
Now, Democrats are saying that the Republicans didn't give very much. The president was making concessions on things like interstate insurance competition and that he was wrong not to put the hearings on C-SPAN for health reform. Did the Republicans compromise in any way in that conversation or offer any compromise?
Well, I don't know if it was an issue of compromise. Up until that point, the president has been saying repeatedly, and he denied saying it, but he's been saying repeatedly, we have no solution on health care, on energy, on this, that we have no proposals whatsoever. Then at that hearing, a meeting, we presented proposals on them. And so then he backtracked and said, well, I never said that you had no ideas. Your ideas.
Wrong ideas.
You had the wrong ideas. So now he's saying something different. You have the wrong ideas. And so, as a matter of fact, my question, which I couldn't get to him, was to say, you know, Mr. President, I personally handed you a document about 24 different ideas 5 months ago. So I'm not sure how you can continue to say that we have no ideas when I gave it to you and others have given it to you as well. So the give and take was the extent of him basically for the first time ever saying, okay, the Republicans of this country do actually have ideas. I have seen them. I have considered them. I've accepted a couple of them. And maybe now going forward, I'll sit down and look at the rest of them and admit that you guys have ideas too.
We just have 20 seconds. Is there any deal that you see possible? One of your ideas that hasn't been brought into the bill for a Democratic idea you could then live with?
Yeah, I mean, buying across state lines, for example, it's a little technical one is in there, is an idea that we proposed.
Then what might you take that you don't really like from the Dems? 10 seconds.
I have to think about that. I would not take the unconstitutionality of the mandate, so if they can figure out some other way to do that, we can find something that's common ground.
The individual mandate. You're
that's just unconstitutional.
All right. Republican Congressman Scott Garrett from New Jersey, thanks so much.
Hey, thanks again. Appreciate it.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.